From Berean Free Presbyterian Church, we present Let the Bible Speak. Please have your Bible ready and stay with us as the Reverend Philip Owen opens the Scriptures to Let the Bible Speak.
Greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Once again, I encourage you to write in for your free edition of the Let the Bible Speak magazine. The featured article especially is Hosea this month, the prophet of love, God's love spurned but constant. And this happened just before Israel was taken captive by the Assyrians. Among other pictures, we have a picture of Golgotha, the place of the skull, where we believe the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified for his covenant people. Please write or call. Our address will be given at the end of the program. The Lord bless you. Christian and a faithful servant. His master, however, was in need of money, and one day a young planter who was an infidel, an unbeliever, came to buy Cuff. The price was agreed upon, and the Christian slave was sold to the infidel. But in parting with him, the master said, "You will find Cuff a good worker, and you can trust him. He will suit you in every respect but one." "And what is that?" asked the buyer. "He will pray, and you can't break him of it, but that is his only fault. I'll soon whip him out of that," remarked the infidel.
I fear not, said the former master, and would not advise you to try it. He would rather die than give up praying. Cuff proved faithful to the new master, the same as he had to the old. The master soon got word that Cuff had been praying, and calling him said, Cuff, you must not pray any more. We can't have any praying around here. Never let me hear any more about this nonsense. Cuff replied, Oh, Master, I have to pray to Jesus, and when I pray I love you and misses all the more, and can work all the harder for you. But he was sternly forbidden to pray any more under penalty of a severe flogging. That evening, when the day's work was done, he talked to his God like Daniel of old. Next morning he was summoned to appear before his master, who demanded of him why he had disobeyed him. Oh, Master, I have to pray. I cannot live without it, said Cuff. At this the master flew into a terrible rage and ordered Cuff to be tied to the whipping post with his shirt off. He then applied the rawhide with all the force he possessed, until his young wife ran out in tears and begged him to stop. The man was so infuriated that he threatened to punish her next if she did not leave him alone. Then he continued to apply the lash until his strength was exhausted. Then he ordered the bleeding back to be washed in salt water, his shirt replaced, and the poor slave to set about his work. Though in great pain, Cuff went away singing in a groaning voice, My suffering time will soon be o'er, when I shall sigh and weep no more. Cuff worked all that day, as the blood oozed from his back where the lash had made long, deep furrows. Meantime, God was working in his master. He saw his wickedness and cruelty to that poor soul, whose only fault had been his fidelity. Conviction seized upon him. In great distress of mind, he went to bed, but could not sleep. Such was his agony at midnight that he awoke his wife and told her that he was dying. Shall I call in the doctor? She said. No, no, I don't want a doctor. Is there anyone on the plantation that can pray for me? I am afraid that I'm going to hell. I don't know of anyone, said his wife, except the slave you punished this morning. Do you think he would pray for me? He anxiously inquired. Yes, I think he would, she replied. Will send for him quickly. On going after Cuff, they found him on his knees in prayer, and when called, he supposed it was to be punished again. On being taken to the master's room, he found him writhing in agony. The master, groaning, said, Oh, Cuff, can you pray for me? Yes, bless the Lord, Master. I've been praying for you all the night, and at this he dropped on his knees and, like Jacob of old, wrestled in prayer. Before the break of day, Cuff witnessed the conversion of both master and mistress. Master and slave embraced. Race differences and past cruelty were swept away by the love of God, and tears of joy were mingled. Cuff was immediately set free and worked no more on the plantation. The master took Cuff and went out to preach the gospel. They traveled all over the South, witnessing to the power of Christ to save to the uttermost. Such is the power of the love of God in the soul where Christ dwells, and such is the power of believing prayer. 1 John 4:10, Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Be strong.
Gospel. Luke was a physician, a personal physician of the Apostle Paul. He also was inspired of the Lord to write the book of Acts. Luke chapter 24. This is after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read, picking up with verse 36, that as the disciples were speaking, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish, and of an honeycomb. And he took it, and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Gracious Father, we are blessed to have your word that has been inspired by thee and given to us. Father, we desire to hear and to listen and to obey. We pray that the Spirit of God would ensure the fulfillment of the Scriptures reading and preaching, as thou hast promised it will not return void. May precious souls be saved, and may your people, may we be awakened to righteousness and to obedience and to worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have looked at the post-resurrection, and it is a post-resurrection appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that it was necessary, for he appeared, obviously, that these appearances take place. But we have some lessons to learn from the post-appearances, that is, the post-resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do they teach us? Why did he appear after the resurrection, and he was with his disciples for 40 days? Why is it that the Savior walked on earth? And this is a fact of history again. There were over 500 brethren at once that saw the Lord Jesus Christ in his post-resurrection body. What can we learn from these post-resurrection appearances? First of all, that it was really Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the same one who came and was born of a virgin in Bethlehem and lived in lowly Nazareth as a carpenter's son and ministered among the people, healing the lepers and the blind and the maimed, saving souls and encouraging hearts and giving people the hope of everlasting life. The Lord Jesus Christ, who walked from Bethlehem to Calvary without a stumble, he was the very same Jesus who they saw after the resurrection. It wasn't a phantom, as they supposed. They weren't used to people appearing without having to open a door and go through a doorway. The Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples to show them that it was really him, that it wasn't a phantom, that it wasn't a mirage, it wasn't a vision, it was a reality. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. I look forward to seeing him in heaven, falling at his feet, and thanking him for saving me. Although we can surely thank him today, for earth is his footstool. But you know, there is that future element of looking into the face of the one who saved me by his grace, being able to behold the wounds that he pleads for me. What a day that will be to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, he is risen from the dead. He's not just a figure that used to be in history books and only now is in religious books. Christ is not on the periphery of heaven or in the true church on earth. Christ, though he be in the periphery of people's sermons and thoughts, and often driven out altogether in family life, in personal life, and even in church life. How often do people hear preaching of Jesus Christ? Yet he is risen from the dead. It was the very same Jesus who appeared to his disciples, who appeared to Mary Magdalene first, and appeared to the men on the road to Emmaus. What a day that was, when their hearts burned as Christ taught them and spoke to them. And how our hearts still burn as we read God's Word in the Spirit and as Christ speaks to us through his written Word. Christ really rose from the dead. Christ is alive. We'll see his body. So this post-resurrection appearance and the appearances that followed prove that it was really Jesus and not some imposter or some satanic delusion. There are many visions and dreams that Satan brings man's way to distract him from the gospel. The Bible says that there will be lying delusions and lying wonders, that Satan will cause people to be distracted from Christ and from the simple gospel message. God used to speak in visions and dreams, Hebrews chapter 1 tells us, but now he speaks to us through the plain preaching of Christ. It please God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God manifests his word through preaching, Titus 1 tells us. And yet people still are attracted by visions and dreams and so-called appearances of Mary and of other personages. And it belittles them to be preached to. But this is the message. God chooses the base things of the world to confound the mighty. The Jews seek a sign. The Greeks seek some orations. Men seek flamboyant, sensationalistic means of finding God. But the Lord uses the bare preaching of Christ. He loves his son. God wants to have his son paraded and preached and heralded in the homes and in the streets, in the churches, in the marketplaces, in the businesses. Christ is the King. Christ is the King of heaven and the King of earth. He is the Lord of glory. He is alive, and we must lift him up. If we're silent, the rocks would cry out. if we're silent, he'll take us out of the way and raise up our children and raise up another generation. The Lord will never be without his vocal witnesses. Oh, I wonder what the angels must think. Let us go and preach. Let us take the message. But they must stand back and acquiesce to the will of God, that God uses saved sinners to preach the message of Jesus Christ to reach other sinners so that they will be saved. The post-resurrection appearances of Christ taught that it was really the Savior that was alive. The disciples did not steal him after all. How did they know? They said, "We'll secure you before Pilate. We'll pay you to tell everybody that the disciples stole him away, stole his body, that is, while the soldiers slept." You don't know what goes on when you're sleeping. That was a great lie perpetrated in that day. But those soldiers guarding the tomb were terrified. They were under great amazement as the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, as the angel rolled the stone away to let us in to see. He was already out. Christ is risen indeed. Secondly, we look that the body shall rise and live again. The bodily resurrection is taught by the post-resurrection appearance of Christ. The very same Jesus that died was on the earth. And when Jesus ascended in Acts 1, it tells us the very same Jesus whom you've seen go up into heaven shall come in like manner. He rose bodily. The body, though it may rot in the grave, yet it will be raised to be incorruptible at that last day, the day of the resurrection. You can know, friend, if you're in Christ, that your body will be raised again to join your soul that's disembodied for a while, and forever you will be with the Lord. Oh, that you might have hope of not only the spiritual resurrection, to be born again, but the physical resurrection, to be raised incorruptible, and worship the Lord forever. The body shall rise again. Job said, "Though in this body, those skin worms eat this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." And thirdly, they were not to depend on his bodily presence. Christ kept appearing and disappearing to show them, "You're not to depend on my bodily presence. I'm going to heaven, and the Spirit will ensure that you're filled with his presence and power, and that the gospel will penetrate into the darkness and into the hideous wilderness." Man, you know, overemphasizes to the exclusion of his soul the external things, the bodily things. Man takes care of his body to the exclusion of his soul. And Christ teaches by his post-resurrection appearance and then disappearance, don't put all your stock in bodily presence, in the physical, in the external. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. Realize that you have a soul that will live somewhere forever, that you need to be saved, that you need to have a new heart, to be right with God, to have your sins cleansed by His blood, to have a new nature, to have an imputed righteousness, Christ's righteousness, credited to your account. You need to be reconciled to God. This is what Christ was teaching us by His post resurrection appearances. Do you know Christ? Do you know him more than a historical personage? No one is saved by merely acknowledging the historical account of Christ's past. You must have Christ applied to your soul. You must have his work appropriated for you. Oh, may you cling to him. Call out to him for saving faith. Call out to him for a new heart. Oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear, and your soul shall live.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Berean Free Presbyterian Church, located in Boston, New York, just 35 minutes south of Buffalo, off Route 219. You may write to Pastor Phil Owen at Berean Free Presbyterian Church, 8435 Boston State Road, Boston, New York, 14025. That's Berean Free Presbyterian Church, 8435 Boston State Road, Boston, New York, 14025. Or you may call the church at area code 716-941-3199. Area code 716-941-3199. Also be sure to visit our website at www.freepres.org. www.freepres.org. If you're free next Lord's Day, we invite you to come and worship with us. Sunday school for all ages is at 10 a.m. and the church services are at 11 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. We also have a midweek Bible study and prayer meeting on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. Thank you for listening today. I trust that you'll join us again at the same time next week as once more we let the Bible speak.